Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Welcome to Next Level. My name is Rob, and I'm one of the pastors here, and so honored for you to be here today. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, hope to get to meet you after the service. If you're new, then would you do me a favor and would you take a chance on a free app? We don't benefit from this app at all. We do this just because this app really will help you out. The app is called YouVersion, and it's an app that I use every day to get into the Bible, but it also has a live page that allows you to get something a little bit more out of what you're about to hear. And on the live page, there's a place to take notes. All the scriptures I'm going to cover are in there. You can give prayer requests. You can give online. And so if you're new, take a chance and test that out today. If you're a regular attender, go ahead and open up your smartphone or tablet to YouVersion. Today, we conclude our series entitled Core, and the idea of this series is to go over some of our core values. Now, we haven't covered all of them, but we want to go over some of our core values, and this is important because if you're new, we want you to know what you might be joining up to join. Like, if this is going to be your church, we want you to know what we're all about. If you are a regular attender, or if you'd say, yeah, I'm already on the team, I'm here, this is what I'm about, this is a good reminder of what you signed on for. And we kicked this thing off 3 weeks ago, and we looked at one of our core values. And on week one, what I did is I rewarded you for having the right answer by giving you some candy. And so I thought it'd be fun to end the series the same way. And so here's how this is going to work. I'm going to ask you a question. You raise your hand. If I call on you, you get the question right. You get a piece of candy, okay? This is how this plays out. So, and some of the questions aren't that hard, so don't be nervous. Who has been here every week for this series? First hand I see. Every week, I saw your hand right there. Amy, right? Okay, I'm not going to be able to make it to her, so. Nope, you're good. They're gonna pass it to you. All right. Who has been here? This is your first time as a part of the series. Not necessarily the church, but you haven't been here for part of the series, okay? There you go. It curved on me. All right, so 3 weeks ago we kicked the series off. What was the first core value we talked about? There you go. Seek God and the rest will follow. This is probably not going to make it. Oh, just a bit short. I need to get heavier candy. All right, and then week two, we talked about another core value. Oh, way back in the, yeah. Authenticity matters. I'm not even going to try. Just pass this back to him. Just pass that back to him. All right. And on that day, we also slid in a second core value on that day. Yes. Can't do life alone. There you go. This is probably not going to make it to her. Oh, right there. Lord willing, it's still in one piece. All right. And then last week, we kicked off another core. Yes. It's God's kingdom, not ours. Love it. There you go. Well done. That's awesome. Well, today we're going to conclude our series, and if you've missed a lot of this series, I wanted to catch you up, not just with answering some questions, but with a video that we made. The truth of the matter is that there are problems in every church that you're a part of, and going over our core values does not mean that we're perfect, and it doesn't mean that we ever will be perfect. It just means that we're all united under the vision, and this week, our staff made a video that highlights what our church is all about, and it's an attempt to have a little bit of fun, but also it highlights everything that we are about, including our core values. And I want to tell you one quick little behind-the-scenes thing about this video. This video was filmed in one take, which means that there's not edits in between it to like set up different shots. The whole thing was filmed in one take, and we had a lot of fun making it. Hope you have some fun enjoying it. This is what we're all about. Check this out.
If you haven't life problems. I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. I got a hoopty car that's falling apart, 0 to 60 miles in an hour or so. I've had a dad bod since I was 12. Even when I look at carbs, I start to swell. I'm a Lakers fan since way back when. Today they play like to win is a sin. I get real bad gas when I eat a burrito. Used to have hair, now I'm Danny DeVito. House falling apart like the money pit. Don't know the difference between a screw or drill bit. Writing every day so my blog would grow. Down to one reader cause my mama followed. Joined CrossFit and learned to burpee. The amount of weight I lift is less than a pea. I've got lots of issues, but I ain't dumb. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but my church ain't one. If you're having life problems, I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit
when
me.
When I walk in church, my problems seem few. Cinnamon rolls on fleek, telling you. We got parkers that smile while they wave me in. Greeters at the door, all they do is win. We got a prayer team, they talking to the Lord. Ushers with flashlights, you can see the floor. Cops and kids love coming to church. Hold on to your claim tag, you'll be in a lurch. Guest services are meeting new faces. Production crew is taking us places. Our student team ain't afraid to get messy. Wear your shorts to church, we ain't real dressy.
Got six core values, let me name a few. Authenticity matters, I am telling you. Disciples, disciple, yo, that ain't new. Can't live life alone, that's just what we do. Three more core values, no need to wallow. Seek God first and the rest will follow. It's God's kingdom, not ours, so don't be sore. Gotta be owners and not spectators.
Listen to me if you've been on the fence.
It's time to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference.
No church is perfect, but we ain't dumb.
We got 99 problems, but our church ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but our church ain't one. If you're having life problems, I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a church ain't one. If you're having life problems, I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a church ain't one. If you're having life problems, I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit me.
So I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. And today we're going to go over a core value that is actually birthed out of a problem. And it was a problem that I saw being a part of the local church. And I've been a part of a lot of different churches. In fact, I've loved my experience growing up in the church. I love that I grew up in the church. But every church I've been a part of has one thing in common. I want you to know that I've been a part of a lot of different churches. I've been a part of incredibly small churches. I was a part of a church who had 140 people on its best day, biggest attendance of the year. I was a part of a church that had 20,000 people every single Sunday. I've been a part of traditional churches and contemporary churches. I've been a part of country churches and city churches. I've been a part of churches with small choirs and churches with large choirs. I was a part of a church that had such a small choir, everyone in the choir was related, and we were convinced one lady was dead. Every single week she did not move, but she was in the choir. I've been a part of so many different churches, and yet every church that I've been a part of has had at least one, but especially one thing in common. No matter what style of church it was, no matter what size, there was one thing that every church had in common, and that was people complained about problems. Whatever the problems were, people would complain about them. And every church, literally every church, no matter if the church was reaching lots of people or barely reaching anyone, every church I've been a part of had problems. And this is what typically happens, that the church views it as their job to complain about the problems, and that it's the pastor and the staff's job then to fix all the problems. And today I want to talk to you because I think that everybody complains. Everybody complains. No matter what church you've been a part of, if this is your first church or you've been a part of a dozen churches, everybody complains. But that's the easy part. It takes a person of courage to see something wrong and do something about it. Everybody complains, but that is easy. It takes a person of courage to see something wrong and do something about it. It is so easy just to sit back, relax, and to point out the problems of everyone else. It is difficult, though, to own up and say, you know what, there's a problem, I'm going to try to fix it. And if you're here today and you are a Christian and you would say that Next Level is your church, I think that every single one of us need to channel the great theologian Vanilla Ice when he said, if there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Stereotypically, church people love to find problems, but stereotypically, church people don't like to solve problems. We love to find the problems that, it's too cold in the auditorium, it's too hot in the auditorium, the music's too loud, the music's not loud enough, you sing too many hymns, you don't sing enough hymns, the preaching's too long. No one ever complains that the preaching's too short, by the way, but the preaching's too long. You're not meeting my needs. There's too many clicks. Like, there's just so much to complain about. And every church I've been a part of had lots of complaining, but it has very few people who are going to say, you know what, there are some things that are imperfect, but because this is my church and I'm a part of it, I'm going to play a part and I'm going to help solve some problems. That's why one of our core values is this: become an owner, not a spectator. Become owners, not spectators. Spectators just sit back and enjoy the show, and when something doesn't meet their needs, they point it out so that someone can fix it. An owner, though, has to take responsibility and say, okay, if there's a problem, I'm going to figure out a way to solve it. Even if my ideas aren't the ideas that solve it, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help solve the problem. It's kind of like this. If you own a house, you are the owner. And if you're like me and you don't know how to fix anything, you may not be the one that fixes the issues, but you are responsible for finding someone to fix the issues, or they're just not going to get fixed. And way too often in the church world, the mindset has been, it's the church's job to find the problems. It's the pastor's job to fix the problems. But at Next Level, we are owners. This church is not named robshep.com. This is our church, and we're doing this together. I want to show you, though, why this is so important. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says, as Christ was the world's hope, so is the church the world's hope. And she must take up the charge as if there were not another. The reason this is so important is because Jesus' plan, the hope for the world, is us. And there is no plan B. When Jesus was on this earth, his last few moments with his disciples, he charged them with going out into the world and making disciples and teaching them everything he had taught them, and literally to go in the world and change it through the local church. And he didn't say, hey guys, I want you to test that out for a couple thousand years, and if it doesn't work out, I got something else up my sleeve. This is it. This is his plan. The local church is the hope of the world, because ultimately Jesus is the hope of the world, and people find Jesus through the local church. So it is incredibly important that we own the local church. And it's incredibly important that when there's problems, we solve it, because ultimately when we have everything going right in here, we can help the world, because the local church is the hope of the world. And I want to show you today that every single one of you plays a part in the local church. Every single one of you. If you're here today and you've ever thought, you know, I'm not that significant to God's kingdom or to the church, because maybe you're a little shy, maybe you're quiet, maybe you say, I don't preach, I don't know that much about the Bible. I would say that every single one of you plays a part in the local church, and that God wants to use you to better the church so that the church can change the world. I want to show you that today in our text. Our text is written by a guy by the name of Paul. And at Next Level, we call Paul a PTPer. He's a prime time player. And we call him that because he is responsible for over half of the New Testament. He wrote over half of what we call the second, like, half of the Bible, the story of Jesus and then the early church. He wrote over half of it. And he wrote a letter to some Christians in Corinth. And the letter is called Corinthians. And the church in Corinth had a ton of issues, like a lot of issues, not just like one. They had some major issues that Paul addresses. And one of the issues in the local church was they were elevating certain positions over others. They were saying that some people are more spiritual, or some people are closer to God than others, and they were envious and jealous of these positions. Now, you may not can relate to their exact problem, but in our day, it would be kind of like this. What we've done in the local church is we have elevated the role of the pastor, and we've devalued the role of church members. And so what we've said to ourselves is that if I have a problem, I better go to the pastor because his prayers matter more than mine because he's closer to God. And what we've said to ourselves is if there's a problem in the world, well, we better get the pastor involved, and we better go to him, and we need the pastor's advice, and we've elevated the pastor. And Paul would say to us today, hey, listen, we're on an even playing field. There's nothing special about a preacher or a teacher, that we all together are called to be the local church, and it is important that we're on the same page because the local church is the hope of the world. I want to show you what Paul says about this in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verses 4 through 6. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So what is he saying? Well, Paul is saying that when you become a Christian, that is when you've aligned yourself with Jesus and you've accepted him as your Savior, his Spirit comes to live inside of you. And when the Spirit of God lives inside of you, he gives you gifts. These are what the church has called for years, spiritual gifts. And he gives you these gifts not for your own good, but to benefit the body of Christ. And it's important that you use your gifts for the body of Christ, because without you, the body of Christ can't function fully. And when we don't function fully, we can't be the hope of the world. And he has given us these gifts. Now, in Paul's day and in Corinth, they were looking at these gifts and they were saying, well, I'm just insignificant because I'm not a preacher, or I don't know how to play a guitar, or I don't lead in worship. So, like, what I do is insignificant. It's not that important. And Paul says, no, listen, the same Spirit of God that is giving all these gifts is working in all of you. And your gift is not more important than her gift, and her gift's not important than his gift. All of our gifts are important, but they're to be used to benefit the body of Christ. And we should never take pride or have insecurity in the gifts that God's given us. We should never say, woe is me, I wish he would have made me a preacher, I wish he would have made me a worship leader, or I wish he would have made me this. And we shouldn't say, you know what, I feel pretty good about myself because I'm great at this. No, no, no. We're on the same playing field. You should never feel insecure or pride about the gift God has given you. It's kind of like this. Your face. Like, you have a face. All of us have a face, right? And your face should never be something that makes you feel prideful. Like, if you feel really great about your face and just say, man, I'm just so good looking. Like, you had nothing to do with your face. I hope you know that. Your face came together because your parents' DNA matched, and voila, there's your face. So, like, you don't get prideful of this. And you don't get insecure of this, because if you're ugly, it's not your fault. Your parents' DNA just didn't match great enough to have a pretty face. And that's okay. Your face is not something that you should become prideful or insecure about, because you had nothing to do with your face. It's just the face that you were given. And it's the same thing with spiritual gifts. You were given a spiritual gift. You were given it. And Paul lists out lots of spiritual gifts. In different letters, he even covers more spiritual gifts. It is up to you to find out what is the spiritual gift that God has planted inside of you. How does God want to use you to benefit the church so that the church can be the hope of the world? He's given you a gift. And there are tons out there. One of the gifts, Paul says, is hospitality. That is a gift. Some of you may not even know that was a spiritual gift. Your husband's probably constantly frustrated with you. Why are we always having people over at the house? Like, that is your spiritual gift. Tell them to back off. You're just doing your thing for God. That is it, literally, hospitality. And we know that hospitality is a gift because not all of us are great at hospitality, right? Some of us have the opposite of hospitality. We have, like, I hate people-ality. Like, and that's not a spiritual gift, okay? So don't say, I just hate people. That's my gift. No, that's not a gift. Some of you are great at, literally, you are great at hosting people. It is natural for you. And you are not just given the gift of hospitality so that you can open your home for people. You are given the gift of hospitality to use your gift in the local church, because there's lots of people that need some hospitality in their life. Another one of the gifts Paul gives is leadership. Did you know that is a spiritual gift? Not everybody is great at leadership. You can learn to be better at leadership, but some of us have a spiritual gift of leadership. And one of the problems in the local church is people that are great at leadership go out in the business world and think, because I'm not a preacher or a teacher, I have no place in the church. No, the church needs great leaders to help figure out problems so that we can be the hope of the world. You don't have to play an instrument or preach to be used by God. God has given you a gift, and it's a specific gift. And if you don't use your gift, you're going to lose your gift. Look at what Paul says next. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, he says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So what is Paul talking about? Well, he says to each one, everyone who's a Christian who would claim that you have Jesus, you are given the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the Spirit. That is, God's Spirit is living inside of you. And he has given you these gifts. And why did he give you the gift? For the common good. Your gifts are not given so that you can become famous or so that you can become prideful or so that other people can say, oh, you're just so special. No, you were given gifts to benefit the body of Christ. Now, here's what this means. When you don't use your gift in the local church, the entire body suffers. You may feel, I'm just an insignificant person. I don't really matter. It's not that big of a deal. If I show up or don't show up, it's no big deal. Like, I'm just a little peon in this whole thing. No! Every single one of us matters. And when you don't do your part, what God has gifted you to do to benefit the local church, the whole thing suffers. It's kind of like this. A handful of years ago, literally one of my worst fears happened to me. I have a fear. I think a lot of speakers or preachers have this exact same fear, but this is literally one of my top 10 fears of preaching and teaching, is that I would get up to speak and my zipper would be down. It is a huge fear of mine. It is like an insecure fear. It's something that I think about often. I often check it. It is just, in fact, if I get up to speak and one of you laughs and I haven't told a joke, instantly in my mind, it's like, oh man, the zipper's down and they're laughing at me. Like, it is this, it's an unhealthy fear. I know it. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. Well, a couple years ago, I was getting ready. We had two services. They were on Sunday nights at the time. And I was moments away from speaking. The band was wrapping up. And like any second, I had to be up on the stage. So I checked my zipper. And right away, I had these flashbacks of middle school where people would say XYZ PDQ, which stands for examine your zipper pretty darn quick. And it was just like, oh my goodness, the zipper is down. Like, what am I going to do? The zipper is down. And like, I had this panic attack. Like, not just I'm kind of concerned. It was like, this is my worst nightmare coming true. And so I'm messing with the zipper and nothing. It won't work. It will not go up. And so literally the band is like done and I'm supposed to be up on stage. And so I walk up on stage and I kind of slunch down and I hold my shirt tail down to try to cover the zipper. And I'm hoping like no one's going to notice. And I quickly led us in a prayer time. Now, we were going to do this prayer time anyway. I just extended it like a really long period of time. And like, I'm hoping everyone's eyes are closed and no one's peeking. And literally, I turned around during the prayer time and I'm feverishly working on my zipper trying to fix this thing. This prayer time went awkwardly long. Like, I'm pretty sure God was like, dude, I'm bored with this prayer time. It's gone on forever. You need to get to preaching the sermon. And so like, I was like people are going to really think something's like seriously wrong if I don't get back into this. So I got back into the talk. And luckily, right about 2 minutes in, there was a video to play. And so we played the video, the lights went dark, and I turned around again, and I started working on this zipper. And I was like, I got to fix this zipper. Like, it is causing me so much panic. I can't even pay attention to what I'm saying because of this zipper. Well, come to find out that one side of the zipper, had completely come off the tracks. Like, the other zipper was on the tracks, but the one half, it was just completely off the tracks. And these jeans that I had bought with a gift card that someone gave me, I will never buy jeans from this place that I will not name again. These jeans, that you know, they have a little flap over it. Well, the flap, like, just came wide open. And so it was like Grand Canyon. It was, like, embarrassing. It was like there was no hiding what's going on, and I cannot fix this problem. And so literally, I got done. The video gets done, and I preach, like, one hand in my pocket holding my shirt down. And anytime I raise my arms, like, my shirt would come up. So, like, I put my arms down. I preached as fast as I possibly could. I have no idea what I said that day. No idea at all. I said amen, got done with the talk. I hopped off the stage. I walked outside, ran to my car, got in my car, drove all the way home, got a new pair of jeans, came back and preached the second service, and no one even noticed that I had changed jeans. That's not the point. What is the point? I'm glad you asked. The point is as insignificant as a zipper feels, when a zipper doesn't do its job, everything suffers. And some of you are zippers in the kingdom of God. And you say to yourself, oh, I'm not that important because I'm not a preacher, or I don't lead worship, or I can't be as special as him. I can't do what she does, or I don't know that much about the Bible. And I would just say that when one little part isn't doing its job, everything suffers. Literally everything suffers. Just think about this. Your body, if you have a little ache, doesn't it throw off everything? If you have a headache, or if you've twisted your ankle, or if you have lower back pain, what do we say about little pains? It is the worst. Neck pain is the worst. Back pain is the worst. Ankle pain is the worst. They're all the worst. Why? Because you can't function when your body is not on the same degree, headed the same way. A little pain or a little part of the body that isn't doing what it is called to do messes everything up. So don't ever tell me that this whole thing is based off of me or my giftedness. You play just as important a role as the preacher. And if Next Level isn't your church, when you do plug into a church, you play just as important a role as that church, as the preacher or the worship leader. If you don't believe me, just stick with me on this one. Let's say that I was on my A game, like just killing it, preaching the best of my ability. And our kids' rooms look like this. Okay, that kid is playing in the world's largest bowl of milk, and there's rats everywhere. Now, I don't care how great I preach. I don't care if I'm just like next level preaching like way better than what I'm even gifted to do. No matter how great I'm preaching, if you have kids, you're not going to put up with that. So don't tell me that I matter more to the church than you do. And if you're back there working with our tots and kids, it's incredibly important what you do. We do not have you volunteer to babysit kids. You are helping kids fall in love with Jesus. Some of them have parents that don't even believe, and the only time they hear about God is when you come with your lesson. So is it important that you review your lesson and you spend time looking at it and that you're prepped? Heck yeah, it is. Because when you don't do your part, guess what? We all suffer. The whole body suffers. And you say, well, I'm not even a teacher. I'm just a room helper back there. It matters, because if you don't show up, we've got to find someone to fill your place, because we can only have one adult per handful of kids. Everything that you do matters. There's no one insignificant in the body of Christ. So maybe you're here today and you do volunteer, and maybe you're a greeter at the door and you think this is an easy job. I sit there and like I smile, like surely you're not saying that I am just as important as you. Well, what if the greeters at our door made this face to everybody that came to church? How many people, new people, would actually come into the service if they were greeted that way? It really doesn't matter if I preach my face off and I just preach the best of my ability. If we don't have greeters who are looking out for new people and who are welcoming the people that are coming back and who actually care about people and are greeting with smiles on their face and are going the second mile to try to help people out, guess what? It doesn't matter what I preach. Because if people don't feel welcome, why are they going to want to become a part of a church? Now, maybe you're here today and you'd say, listen, I don't volunteer. I will never volunteer. That's totally cool. You still play a part in the local church. Even if you refuse, even if there's nothing I could do, even if I said, here is a legit check for $1 million, I will give it to you if you volunteer, you would say, heck to the no, I don't care. You cannot pay me off. I will not volunteer. If that is you, you matter to the local church. Because there's other ways to give back to the church than just by volunteering. And in fact, you matter so much that when you don't show up, literally just show up to church, it impacts other people. What if on Sundays our auditorium looked like this? Aw, see, you guys are sad about that. Like literally though, what if a service had one person in it? Do you think that one person would come back? No. So don't tell me that just because you don't volunteer, you don't matter. You matter. You matter. In fact, we have never, ever assigned seats at Next Level Church, and yet some of you sit in the exact same seat every time that you come to church. And you sit there so often that I know when you skip church because you're not in your seat. Literally, that's sometimes the only reason I know some of you are not at church, because you've skipped it. But you don't know, on the weeks that you skip, you don't know who God might put in your path that you could connect with. And you might sit by someone that needs your smiling face or needs to hear from you. You might meet someone that is literally one step away from giving up on God. And it doesn't matter what I'm going to say because they're not listening to me because their heart is breaking. You matter to the local church. And when you don't play your part, we all suffer. This week, I got a message from someone. Our podcast online wasn't working very well. And she messaged me, and her first comment was that she normally goes to the 10:50 service, and the podcast evidently was the 9:15 service. And she said, I noticed how different the energy was at the 9:15 than the normal 10:50. Like, it just wasn't as alive. And she was just making this observation. Now, I didn't say this to her, but I know why it was different. Because there's a group of people that sit in the second row that laugh at all my jokes at the 9:15 service. And they were all on vacation. So don't tell me that you don't make a difference. Because they weren't there. It made such a big difference. It showed up on our podcast, for crying out loud. You make a difference. And when you don't use the gifts that God has planted inside of you, not only do you suffer, the whole body of Christ suffers. I love this quote by Mahatma Gandhi. He said this, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." Now, Gandhi wasn't a Christian, but that sounds like a very Jesus thing to say. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. If you want to find yourself, it does not involve you digging deeper into your deep, dark places in your heart. If you want to find yourself by holding on to the gift that God has given you and then using that gift to serve other people. You will find yourself. It'll give you a purpose to wake up for. It'll give you energy and excitement. You will find yourself when you serve others. You will. But not just serving people anywhere and any, you serve people based off the gifts that God has given you. When you use your gifts, you come alive, and therefore the rest of the church comes alive. And why is this important? Because the local church is the hope of the world. And when we're not on the same page, the church suffers. And when we suffer, guess who else suffers? The world. It is incredibly important that you play your part. Well, Paul goes on to conclude this section in 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. He says this, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." So what is Paul saying? This is such a brilliant point. Paul's saying that the local church is the great equalizer. That maybe outside of this church, the way that other people view you, maybe they'll put labels on you. Maybe they'll say that you're good enough or you're not good enough. Maybe they'll look at your talents and say, hey, you don't measure up or you do measure up. But when you come into the local church, it is the great equalizer. And Paul says that in here, there is no slave, there is no master, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no black, there is no white, there is no Hispanic, there is no Asian. That when we come in here, we form the body of Christ together. The church is is an amazing equalizer. And here's what this means for you. If you have a shady past and you've messed up a lot of stuff, guess what happens when you come into the church? All is forgiven. And if you lived a perfect life, guess what? We're not going to put you on a pedestal. We are all in this together, putting each other's needs ahead of our own. Why? Because what we do in here matters. And we form the body of Christ. And when one of us does not do what God has called us to do, the whole body suffers. You are the hope of the world when you use your gifts in the local church. I love this quote by Bill Hybels. He says, "There's nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. It comforts the grieving and heals the broken in the context of community. It builds bridges to seekers and opens its arms to the forgotten, the downtrodden, and the disillusioned. It breaks the chains of addictions, frees the oppressed, and offers belonging to the marginalized of this world. The potential of the local church is almost more than I can grasp." The local church is the hope of the world. And what you do matters. This is why it is so incredibly important. What you do matters because there's people that don't know Jesus and they'll never visit a church unless they know you. You might be the only Jesus someone knows. I can't reach all your friends. You matter. and you matter so much that God has put all his eggs in this basket, the basket of the local church, not next level, the local church as a whole. And you play a part. And that's why every Sunday is a big deal. Because every Sunday, someone visits the local church looking for some hope. And they may not find it in my preaching, or they may not like the music, but maybe they'll connect with you. You matter. And together, we form the body of Christ. And together, the body of Christ becomes the hope of the world. Here's the deal, though. You have to take ownership of this core value, the core value of becoming an owner, not a spectator. This is why this is so important. It is so easy to just sit back and just say, you know what, there's some problems. There's some problems in the world. There's some problems in this church. I'm just going to spectate and commentate on them. I want to show you, to end, I want to show you a video that illustrates exactly why just commentating on a problem doesn't solve anything. This is a somewhat humorous video, and the quality of it's pretty bad because it's from a pretty old news clipping. But I want you to listen specifically to what people say after the accident happens. Check this out.
These buckets are filled with grapes. What kind of grapes?
These are filled with Chamberson grapes, and the winner this Saturday who's stomping music, eating international foods, having wine tours and tastings, vineyard tours, seminars, arts and crafts. It's a lot of fun, a whole day. Stop.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
Yeah, she's hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay.
Boy, gosh, I hope she's okay.
Okay. Mm. We're going to make sure she is.
We'll try and check on her and get back to you as soon as we can.
We'll be back right after this.
Guys, that was awful. And for far too long, that's the local church. Ooh, ow, yeah, there's some problems. That's so awful. The world's falling apart. That's bad. Oh, yeah, I think she's really going through some pain. Oh, yeah, look at her. Her world's struggling. Oh, man, their marriage ended. Oh, I feel bad for them. Oh. It is so easy to commentate on other people's pains, but it is really difficult to get your hands dirty and actually meet some people's needs. And the local church can't be the local church if you don't own your faith. So don't ever come to Next Level Church and say things like, you know what, I'm just not feeling anymore because the pastor's not feeding me. Guess what? It's not my job to feed you spiritually. It's your job to feed yourself. You've got to own your faith. And it's not my job to meet every need in the community. I can't do it. And I can't meet all of your needs. If every one of you expects me to be at everything in your life, we're all going to be disappointed. There's way too many people for me to meet all your needs. It is us together. It's not me by myself. It's us. We together are the local church. And we have to be on the same page. We have to own this thing. Why? Because the local church is the hope of the world. Do you understand? Thank you for clapping. It gets a little awkward when you're by yourself clapping. They slowly kind of caught on. I think they felt pressured. I really hope that you guys understand this, and this has nothing to do with Next Level Church. If Next Level is not your church, or if you want to move on, plug into another church. This has to do with you using the gifts God has given you, because when you don't use your gifts, people suffer, and eternity is in balance. You've got to use what God has given you, so that the local church can function as a body, because the local church is the hope of the world. Will you guys pray with me? God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for a chance just to do some reflecting on the church. I ask, God, that you would stir up in here, God, just a desire, a healthy desire to become owners, to not just spectate on what's going on in the world, but that we would come up with some solutions and problems and that we'd get our hands dirty. We ask, God, that you would just do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine in our midst. We ask, God, that you would stir something inside of us, that we would take an active part in our faith, that we would do something, God, not for our own glory, not for our own fame, but to make you famous. And we ask, God, today that you would just use us, that you would use us as a body of believers. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst and in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.